It's Ellen Rohr, and here we are on webinar number 3 of Building a Phenomenal Team, A Better Way to Pay. I am dazzled by your enthusiasm so far. It's been rockin' awesome. We had office hours. I'll report in about that as we progress today. And we have a special guest, Mr. Howard Partridge.
Which way is that? Hi, everybody. Hey, I just wanted to jump on for a few minutes, and I don't even remember if I was on the first one. I know that we did the preview webinar. Was I on the very first one?
Yes, you were.
And I don't even know where I have been between then and now, and I can see that you're probably traveling as well. But anyway, I just wanted to get on and say howdy and validate what Ellen is doing. I know that somewhere around maybe half of the attendees are members of our inner circle. That's my family. So good to see everybody, and I hope you're enjoying it. I know you are. I'm going to have a little bit more time to get in and listen to the replays and get on the Facebook page and see what's happening with everybody. So I'm really excited about that. And also, I just wanted to say hi to the folks that came from your world, Ellen, and just let them know that those of us that are in the inner circle, you probably already know that we have a coaching program called the Inner Circle. We are working in over 100 different industries in 9 different countries, and we love working with Ellen's folks, and we love Ellen, of course, and so happy that she's a part of our community. So however we can help you, we are there for you, okay?
So. Well, thank you so much, and thank you. One of the requests was, one of the businesses that Howard has is a rock star cleaning company, and as there are some contractors, service contractors on the webinar series, they asked, well, how does Howard pay? And you generously shared your document, which we're going to review today, and
great.
I talked to Scott about it, and I'm super excited to add that to the vault, the replay page, where we've got a ton of awesome resources assembling. So, and your team is awesome. Thanks to Dana and Victoria and Michelle and Santi and everyone else who's made this happen. So thanks, Howard, for stopping in today.
Absolutely, my pleasure. And, you know, I'm not saying anything about anybody else's team, but I'm just saying I got the most phenomenal team in the world. So.
You know, you really
and
do.
And you're part of our team.
I know, and you inspire me every day, and I learn so much from you, and there's so much on this program that was inspired by you, so thanks for your contribution. Hey, I don't see anybody on the question chat today, so you say howdy, hi, can hear
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, let's see what's going on. I think it's just not me and Howard chatting.
Yeah, I wanted to say, there we
oh,
go.
Yeah. Hey. Alan, I want to brag on you today with your permission. Okay.
Well, let me just say one last thing. I got to go. I get to meet with my one of my early mentors. I only see him like twice a year now. I'm so excited. I get to spend about 4 hours with him. And wisest man that I know in the world. But I just wanted to encourage you guys that you know, sometimes when you get started with something like this, you can start getting kind of bogged down a little bit and not finish. And I want to encourage you to do the hard work to finish, because it is directly tied to you reaching your biggest dreams and goals in life. This will help you. It'll help your business. It'll help your employees. It'll help your family, and it'll help you with your dreams. So, Ellen, thank you again, and you guys rock. Take care.
Thanks, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I'm going to put my glasses on, and to save some bandwidth, this is the last you're going to see of me. So I'm going to close down the camera, and hooray, look at all the good morning. And if you are so inspired, sometimes no matter what happens, I find that if I operate in a bubble of gratitude, my life goes better. So you are welcome, as we get started, to jot down something you are grateful for. And I am grateful for the opportunity to share this information with you. You know, it is a little scary to me. This is high risk stakes. How you pay your people is a very sensitive subject. And so for years I offered this information only individually, only with the ultimate caution, because I was concerned about you making the mistakes that I made as I learned to pay people, as I, you know, dug out the holes I made, as I damaged some relationships. So my inspiration today and my gratitude is that I'm grateful to you for being here in the spirit of sharing and learning and understanding. And there is no promise that you're going to do this all right. It's just the way it goes. And that's why my overarching counsel today is, as Howard says, don't stop. Do the hard work. Do whatever. I don't think it's hard, but do the work without giving up on it to get to a point where you and your team have a better way to pay. And don't rush it. Embrace the process. Embrace the mess a little bit. You know, it's all right if you make a mistake or two, and this will help you raise your standards, help you improve every relationship in your life, including those with your employees. So, yay. Look at this. Grateful for building good, honest relationships with our adult children and their spouses. Oh, isn't that delicious? Thank you, Michael, for that. I have loved being a mother every single solitary step of the way, and I love being the mom of adult kids, too. How cool is that? All right, so let's get started. And also, bear with me today. I only have one screen, and I have a ton of stuff to show you. So I'm going to be going back and forth from the PowerPoint to the replay page to the individual documents. And it could get a little awkward for me, just saying. That's the way it's going to go. Dana is on the ready to check on the questions tab, as well as make sure that if I do need someone, if I do need to alert her to take over on the screen, she'll be ready. So thanks, Dana. All right. So I'm going to give a little recap of office hours and let you know how office hours work. We had office hours on Wednesday night? Yes. And it was well attended. I think we had about 20 people on the call. And this is how they work. There isn't an agenda. I don't have new content that I have at the ready to share. Every bit of the conversation, and we were on the phone for all of 90 minutes, was designed to check homework, answer questions, clarify thoughts, give case studies, and I think it was rocking awesome. For those of you who were on office hours and got a lot out of it, you know, give us a shout out on that. There will be two more office hours. One, we posted it on the Facebook page. If you're not on the Facebook page, please get on the Facebook page, and we will also be sending the information out via email. I think it's November 22nd and December 6th are the next two office hours. I'll have them in the evening. So if you can't make it to the live call and you listen to the recording, shout out. You might make it to the evening office hours. That's why I designed them that way. So pretty cool. I thought of recording the office hours, but as we got into it, I thought, I want you to feel as free as possible to be candid. So I'm not going to record them. So you won't get a recording of the office hours. I don't want any pressure on anybody that, well, I don't know if I want to share this. You know, you still have the choice to share in a group. This is a group class, and you don't have to share anything on this call, on question and answer part of this call, or on office hours. You don't have to share, but if you're so moved to share, note that we do record this. Dana is recording today's call, including the Q&A, because that will be helpful for the folks who can't make the live event, of course, and for you to go back and share this with your team and review the information again. But office hours, I will not record, so that we can let our hair down a little bit, be nice and relaxed, and just elevate the level of confidentiality and sharing. Okay? As I share with you, understand this is one woman's opinion, and it comes from my lab. I have a lot of experience. I'm 57 years old. And I jumped into the family business when I was 24, when I had my son and my husband's partner died, 26, I guess. It was 26 when Yox died. And I quit my real job and I went to work in the family business. And from there, I've made so many mistakes. And I was a student of life and a student of the game of business. I sought help and went looking for it. Now, sometimes I would ask for help and then resist it. We've talked about this before. I think there's some power in the resistance in saying, well, wait a minute, I don't know if that'll work for me. As long as you get past it, if you're hitting a rock, go under, over, around, or through any rock that gets in the way of, as Howard said, of reaching your goals, of making yourself happy, of being of service, of achieving your why. So my experience is vast, and I bring it to you and offer it to you, but it isn't the end all. I want you to become students of this game and learn and discern information and send it through your filter. Do what feels good. You know, do a gut check as well as use science and math and STEM and STEAM to come up with your conclusions. I also am going to share experiences from my clients. Some of my clients did not take my advice. God bless them. And it gave me an opportunity to see another way and how they did things and how they tweaked stuff. So I'll be sharing that too. And I also want you to know that right now I am a working business owner. I own Zoom Drain, the franchisor. We now have 4 franchisees. And much of what I'm sharing with you as my favorite stuff is what we're actually using at Zoom. So I'm just laying the table for my philosophy, you know, so where it comes from. This isn't something I'm making up. This is something that I use every day. All right? And as I said with Howard on the phone, I've learned so much from Howard because the results are what speak volumes. When you seek out mentors, when you talk to other business owners, when you visit their shops, oh, I encourage you to do that. You know, look for the people whose teams are happy. Who ask people, like I'll ride along with guys in the truck and I'll say, how do you get paid? And if they can't tell me, that's not a great way to get paid. Well, I don't know. It always seems like it's different every month, and I'm not quite sure. We get bonuses for this and that. And, you know, I ask the team members, do you understand it? Does your wife understand it? Do you like it? Be discerning. And this is why I'm so happy to be aligned with Howard. His team is all that and a bag of chips. Now, I don't know that everybody on the team doesn't think that there are moments of the way they get paid that could be improved. But I do know that Howard has adapted and changed and listened throughout the years, and he does his very best to make sure it's clear. And we're going to share a little bit of what he does with his cleaning business as we go through the course of today. Pretty exciting. So be selective of your mentors and look to the results for those who you'll listen to. Here's another mentor I cannot help but mention during our course, during the course of the work today. He is my partner at Zoom, one of my partners at Zoom, and this is Alan. He and I have been friends for 20 plus years, and he's a mensch. That means a very good man, and he's never let me down. He's always in my corner. If the disaster were to strike in my life, I would call my husband and I would call Al. And probably Howard is on that list too, I think as much of him as well. These are my best friends and mentors. And Al helped me develop a lot of what you're seeing here. I took on the scorekeeping and the dollar amounts, but the manuals and how do we move from layer to layer, I just wanted to give a shout out to my buddy Al Levy. And you know, he's also helped us develop this at Zoom. So I just wanted to acknowledge some of my mentors today. All right, so we're halfway through with today's call. Although you are in my Rolodex forever and this information is going to be available for a long time, I want you to take the next few months to get your ducks in a row. It's okay to get this, to feel good about it before you roll it out. My biggest fear as I was going into this call is that you're going to post stuff, you're going to do stuff, and then you're going to have to unwind it. Slow down a little bit. Make sure. Ask your questions. That's why we're taking 7 weeks to go through the content. So this is where we are in the process. All right. Next week, our class is going to be on Saturday. Call number 4 is on the 19th, not on the 18th, so mark your calendars. We'll take Thanksgiving week off, however. We do have an office hours that week. And then the last two classes are really designed for me to, you know, remind you of all the tools that you have, help review your program, what you've got planned, shoot some holes in it, and get it rocking right. All right? So let's review where we are today. I want you to pay attention to that replay page. The replay page is a very powerful value dripping benefit of this class. We're going to show you the additional files we added on today. The checklist is what you hang on to throughout the course of this process It is available now in the Word doc formula or version, so you can update it. If you haven't downloaded yours today, please do. The org chart, I feel, is a critical tool for engaging these products. Some of you are using Howard's org chart. My org chart samples are not at odds with Howard. I do think you need to expand some detail beyond that, either on the org chart or on a Word document, and maybe a little of both. So I'll show you some examples of that. But I find the org chart very helpful for determining what I'm currently doing, laying it out in a reasonable fashion. As I asked you to assess the mess, I wanted you to identify any immediate inequities that you could maybe fix by moving one or two people up the ladder, not ever down the ladder, but up the ladder, to buy yourself some time and buy yourself some time before you unleash perhaps a new bonus program aligned with the salaries or the wages per hour. Check out the new files, participate in the Facebook group, woohoo! Now today, here's some of my Zoom boys. I love them, I love, love, love them. And I'll show you some scorecards. We're gonna add scorecards and rules of the game to the content that you've received so far. I'll share with you what we're doing in Zoom, I'll share what we've got with Howard, and with the permission of a couple people who are on the call today, I'd love to share their thoughts as well. All right, so let's take a look at the replay page and the checklist. And to do that, I'm going to have to do a little bit of massaging over here. Okay, this is the replay page. All right, and let's see. I'm going to just check the questions. Where can I find these files? Well, my darling Cindy, right here. This is it, baby. Possible to date the documents when you save them before uploading to the resource page. Date the doc. No! Lee, that's lazy. Pay attention. You do it. Go through. I'm showing them to you now. All right? No, because they don't necessarily go in order. This is like a, this is a box. It's a toolkit, and I'm just dumping the tools in them. Not all of them are you going to need. Now, you can, as you save them, you can save them with a naming convention on your end. Oh, I'm sorry, Lee, if I was a little hard on you. I was just going for the laugh. All right, so you can save them with a naming convention, and I'll show you a sample of a naming convention. Some of these files have that. This is a checklist. Let me go to my downloads. Oh, this one I don't think I downloaded, so let's go to the downloads. Okay, so you download it. You see what I just did? Boom, you click on it, and then it'll download. I'm on a Mac, and then you can show all your downloads. See that down here? And you'll open up that screen. So these are the downloads. You're going to download them right from here. If you've got a Mac, you can click and show on Finder, and it's going to be on Finder, and you can massage it to the file that you want to save it as. Now, generally what I do for a naming convention, you're going to see this, Lee, when I save a file, I will date it year, year, month, date. So this file was updated on 2016, October 10th month, 26th day. All right, but this one is Howard's, and he uses a different naming convention, but he did date it. All right, so some of mine are dated, and some of mine are older. This job cost form is from 2010. This installer scorecard is from 2010. So that's how I name my files. Your job is to go through, see which ones you're going to use. I will make note of the new ones in the webinar like we're doing right now. So let me open up the checklist to remind you of this awesome tool, and this is now, I believe, in a Word document form. Yeah, so you can edit this. Woohoo! All right, this is a reminder of the dates. Nice. And then here are the bullet points that I want you to go through. I also want you to know this is not necessarily the order of things for you. I jotted down the things I know needed to be done. I've edited it a couple of times. I think it's pretty comprehensive. However, it's going to be your job to go through and reorganize and and make this real for you. Fair enough? So this is the overall checklist. Just a couple things to point out. Implement a wage pause. So talk to people on your team and say, I'm working on it. I want your help with making this better. How we pay, I want to make it simple. I want to make it understandable. I don't want to make that accounting so hard. Could you give me some breathing room to get this done? Well, how much? How about the end of February? Could we get it done by the end of February? I think that's reasonable, right? Get your ducks in a row. Get their help. Visit with them individually. Visit with them in small groups, depending on the size of your company. You know, this is where being a small company is such an advantage, because you can set the stage for new hires. You may make some exceptions to the rule for the people who are already in, and then lay out how new hires are going to go. You know, the people who have a much bigger team just have more relationships that they have to maintain and fix and improve as they put this program together. But giving yourself a little break is fine. Understand that if you've already promised somebody something, if you said, I will give you a raise on December 1st, you're bound by that. You're bound by that. But if you can, for everything else, give yourself a little breathing room. All right? So another thing about being in the inner circle is I've got this reminder to make sure that you are up to speed with your financials. The only way to know if the way you pay isn't shooting you in the foot financially is to be impeccable with your financials. For those of you in the inner circle, in their toolbox, in their resources, there is the complete program of the Financial Blast, which we did in August and September, and it's awesome. So that's a really great value-added benefit for inner circle members. If you're in the inner circle or considering it, that program is automatically made available to you, the whole recording of the videos and the forms and the checklist, just like we're doing here. So a reminder to get your ducks in a row for end of the year. You know, this is where we are on the checklist in terms of refine the org chart. There's information in the Bare Bones Biz Plan, which is another resource on the org chart. And you know, cleaning up the mess, assessing the mess. Okay, Lee, let me know that you're not mad at me for spanking you on the question box. All right. Notice this too. This is, again, if you have any questions about what you've done, you know, I've uncovered some pretty sensitive stuff with people. I've also, you know, I'm also very much on the lookout for, do men make more than women at your company? These things can be discriminatory. You know, that is discriminatory. Unless there's a justification for why one person makes more than the other, this is one of the first things we want to clean up and get right. If you are in doubt at all about the way you pay now or the way you're going to pay, you've got to get some counsel. And it doesn't, you know, if you made a mistake in the past, you did. Correcting it now is a good idea. How do you do that safely? Well, that's what human resource experts and your legal team could help you with. Fair enough? Aw, thanks for the no worries, Lee. Love, love, love. Okay, I knew you could take it. All right, now another suggestion that I made was to roll out the employee manual. Now let me reduce this a second so you can see this. So then I say roll out the employee manual, and then you're going to go to this list. Oops, it's over here. It's a little confusing, but you can deal. When I make reference to it, then come back here and go, what is it? Do we have it? Well, yes, we do. Go look. Here it is. You're going to download it. And this is a tremendous document. It is a complete, well, it's complete for this piece of it, is the employer-employee manual. This is where you can cover showing up clean, sober, on time, dressed right, and willing to do things your way. This employee manual sets the stage for that. Now consider this. If while you buy yourself some time to figure out a new way to pay, you raise your standards when it comes to holding people accountable for being on time, for wearing the proper uniform. And if you've never made that clear, you can make it clear in your employee manual. If you're brave enough, and you might check with your HR team, you know, someone at SCORE, call a labor lawyer intern if you're trying to be conservative with your resources, but go get some help if you have any questions. But one of the things you could put in your employee manual is progressive discipline. If you don't show up on time, what happens? Is that a fireable offense? Not on the first one, maybe the second one. So we, you know, give you a verbal warning, written warning, suspension of work with no pay, and then termination of employment. We don't terminate people, by the way. That's killing them. We terminate their employment, just saying. All right, so the employee manual is a nice thing to roll out, because what you can do during this pause time is raise your standards and make sure people are going to play. If someone needs to be fired, I'm not going to give them a bonus to encourage them to stay. I'm going to raise my standards and see if they'll play. But if they can't show up clean, sober, on time, dressed right, and start using my checklist, why would I create a game and a program for that person? You see where I'm going with that? So the checklist, let's go back to the checklist, will remind you that that's an activity that you could engage during the course of this program. So the checklist will refer you back to that list of resources that's on the replay page. Also, what I suggest during the course of our time together is to set yourself up for success. You don't have to change everyone's during our course, but pick someone and then listen to the stories of other people or my stories about other departments. These are the ones I would focus on. Ultimately, as you get the philosophy, you can find games to play for any employee at your company. But the biggies are, you know, I usually start with sales, because it's easy to track it, and until a sale's made, you know, nothing happens. However, if you're feeling the burning need to get something addressed in your office team, go ahead and start with that. I will share examples of how to address these areas, and I'll give you a little potpourri of information that you could then translate to other areas. So I might show you a scorecard for the salesperson and then salary levels for the office team. Then your job is to go take a swing at customizing this information for you. Okay, and we're going to be talking about scorecards today. So for the sake of time, I'm going to jump back over to the slideshow, but just wanted to point out this resource. So we'll go through the other. I'll leave it open in case we want to get back into it. All right, so this is the website. Dana, if you want to just be sweet to the group here and copy that and put it in the question box or the chat box to help people who have not yet identified that replay page, that would be very nice of you. All right, and let's go to the slideshow. Okay, so this is the checklist. We just reviewed that. This is the org chart, one of which I gave you. I want to show you another one. And we may, during the Q&A, open up an org chart from one or the other participants, because I got some really great homework, too. But I'll get their permission and their input as they do. All right, so with Howard's group, this level right here, see the dark purple, dark green, dark blue, dark orange, that would be considered the director level. The field supervisors in this particular example for a service company would be considered manager level, but notice I've got more detail when it comes to tech level, and this may suit you. Now, for some of you on your homework, what you're trying to do on the org chart is also put the position descriptions in more detail about how they get paid. Those can be additional documents. Those can be additional documents. I think you'll start to run out of room if you make this org chart do everything. But aligned with each of these positions, you know, I'd print up something like this. I'd create a new one with pencil that would work for my company. And then I'd put the names in, and I'd put what I'm currently paying them, and I would look for fairness. Is this fair? Does this guy do more than someone else? What if I move this guy up to what this guy gets paid? Would that be more fair? My rule of thumb is don't move anybody down the org chart. I think it's too hard for them to go home and tell their wife they got a demotion, or their partner they got a demotion. Instead, consider, can this guy get good? Is he going to be able to make it? And if you're not sure, ride along and have a real conversation with that person. Ride along or sit side by side and say, as I was putting the org chart together, you make this much money, and I would like to be able to move you up the ladder if that's what you really want and if you're willing and capable of doing that. So you ask them, what are your goals and dreams? What would you like to have happen? Maybe they don't know. Maybe no one's ever asked them this question before, but you start this conversation. And then you talk to the guy who's in the position senior, and you say, if we were to create some striation for how we get up to where you are, what are some of the things that we could require of people to move from one level to the next? Maybe you have these conversations in small groups. Maybe you have them individually. Do not post this with their wages until you've had all of those private conversations. The rule of thumb is when you post anything about the way they pay, when you ultimately make it public, it cannot come as a surprise to anyone who will be affected. They must know what will be happening before that goes up. Are you guys clear on this? Let's see a little chatter in the question box on that. Does that make sense? Yes, yes, good, great info. Okay, great, so a couple of reminders. You're going to update the org chart, put names in boxes, put their wages or salaries or compensation next to them. Tessa, it was fun when Tessa and I were doing reviewing her homework. She and her team had come to the realization that they were kind of lumping this whole group of practitioners together when it made more sense to separate them out into two levels of practitioner, people who had actually achieved some level of doctor, and then the other medical practitioner. So you'll find these things. It's so good. You may also grandfather someone in. Let's say there are two guys that you decide to move to senior level of salesperson or technician. And they got there because they're on the team right now, but the path has never been defined. Like, how did you get from junior to senior? So you may grandfather them in and say, because you're here already, it's good to be you today. You're already in that position. And as we develop our training to help the next guy achieve the position that you now hold, you will also participate in that training so that you never have to justify that you were here early, that you had some kind of special deal. You'll catch up as we develop this. In fact, you're going to help me develop the path to take to get up. So good. All right, so pick one to start. Does anybody have one that they've got picked that they want to identify? Like, go ahead and let me know which area of your company you're most concerned with cleaning up, knowing that ultimately you can clean up everything. But go ahead and give me a little shout out and I'll pay attention to that. It's so nice to see you, Jill. We've known each other for a long, long time. Yay. And Denise, if you want to laugh, look how you spelled asset. I forgot an S, didn't I? I think I saw that the last time. I thought I fixed it, but I fixed it on the other slide. I don't know what I did. Okay, service techs, good. I got a lot of stuff for service techs. I got good stuff for office, too. So here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to show you some sample scorecards, and we're going to dissect them. And I'm going to show you some sample rules of the game from my game, from Howard's game. So we're going to go back over to the resource pages, and we're going to play with this. Is that cool? And then, let's see if I can do this. And then we're going to jump into Q&A at the top of the hour. All right, so this will get a little messy for a moment, but with scorecards and rules of the game is where we're going next. So I'm going to go back to my downloads that I have right now. You've got them right here. All right. I've already downloaded them, so I'm going to go to my download tab here just so you know what I'm doing. Oh, you know what? Before I do, for those of you who've taken my SAGE advice and are engaging the employer-employee manual, this came up at office hours, if someone breaks the rules, what do we do? Let me just take a little side trip over to this. So we have to start establishing some protocol for getting people back on track. In fact, at Benjamin Franklin, we called this corrective action form a back-on-track form. And the idea is that we don't want to fire people. We want to help them, hey, dude, this is the line. You just crossed it. You can't keep crossing it and keep your great job here. So let's say you've got you finally make clear what time people are supposed to show up. And you fall on your sword. So you may go through the employee-employer manual with everybody on your team. You may highlight that area and say, I've never made clear what time you have to be at work here. And if it's 8 o'clock, don't penalize them for coming in at 5 minutes of 8 because you would be there at 10 minutes of 8. Is it 8 o'clock? What is good enough for you? And if it's 8 o'clock, that means the second that the clock goes past 8 o'clock and is 8:01, they're late, not 8-ish. So if the first time someone gets, so you explain the rules, 75%, I've heard this statistic before, 75% of all correction we give people is on stuff we never made clear in the first place. So you make it clear, and you start with these basic clean, sober, on time, and dress right, right? As you're working this through, you're going to also be engaging this employer-employee manual. And if they break the rule, you write them up, or you take them through progressive discipline. Now, progressive discipline can be different for different shops, but pay attention here as I share this and go ahead and take notes about this. What we do at Zoom is the first violation is a verbal warning. The second violation is a written warning. The third violation is suspension without pay. We send you home. And then the fourth violation is we're going to say goodbye. You're not going to work here anymore. So they have a chance. You know, this is, and this is not your, you know, you show up once and you're fired. But you also can't let somebody get written up 17 times for being written up, or, I mean, for being late. And I've seen that, right? Because if you give this guy 17 chances and you fire this guy after two, that is discrimination, and that will get you into trouble. All right, so if you come up with a, and this is, again, I would seek some help from a professional. A lot of times, HR pros and labor lawyers will say, don't put it in your manual because I don't think you'll hold to it, and they just leave you hanging in terms of it. If you do adopt this, you got to adopt it. And you can use a form like this. Very simple. You can edit this. You could copy and paste this so that you could put all four opportunities on one page. Does that make sense? All right, and the first one is kind of an oxymoron. We're going to give you a rubber bullet or a verbal warning, but the verbal warning is documented, and you would put this in their employee file. And then the second one would be a written warning. Now, in office hours, we dug into this a little bit more, and I'm happy to talk about it on question during the question and answer session about how you actually engage this. After 6 months, if someone is has not had any other transactions, could we purge their file and give them a fresh start? Yes, there's ways to make this workable for your company, and I'm happy to dig more into that. But let's go ahead and jump into these scorecards before I lose the opportunity and we run out of time today. Okay, so that's the corrective action form, employer manual, checklist. Let me show you the I'm going to go jump back and forth between the rules of the game and the scorecards. Let me show you a scorecard first. If you have some rubber on the road, if you've been using scorecards before, awesome. If you've never used a scorecard before, the very first thing I do is I keep score. So, for instance, you want to create a game with your salespeople. So for those of you, let's see on this, for those of you who have someone who sells and someone else who installs, okay, this would be if you have installers, then you also have a salesperson, right? If the installers aren't selling, then the salesperson is the one who would use this particular scorecard. I'm going to blow it up a little bit. It is your responsibility to, study these. I don't know what happened here. Hold on, let me go back. Somehow I just ended up way down this list, so sorry about that. Okay, but let's look at what this scorecard is going to show us. And then I'm going to close it and open it again. I don't want to save it. For some reason, I jumped all the way to the bottom, so let's try this again. So this scorecard template, and I gave you a couple. All right. I'm going to try and make this a little bigger. No, it doesn't work to do that. Okay. So play with it, you know, get your nose right up on this one. This one is just going to be a little small on the screen. It certainly is on mine. Let's look at this scorecard. Now, the electronic scorecards, I'm going to show you a manual one that you use a pencil on. I'm going to show you one that you can fill out. These are designed to inspire you. Take a swing. If you've got a scorecard already and you want me to take a look at it and maybe tweak it, no problem. All right, in this particular scorecard and in all my electronic scorecards you might remember from the Financial Blast, the way I build them is the colored bordered cells are data entry cells and other cells are going to be formulas. You'll see a formula in there. Okay, on this particular scorecard, I love this scorecard. This is good for people who do sales. So let's say HVAC sales or sell big jobs of some sort, remodeling sales. This would be good for you, Perry. So someone who does sales and someone else goes and does the work. What a great tool this is. So you would put the job name or for every single job you go and put a bid on. And then how fast did you get there compared to how fast did you get them the proposal? If weeks are going by, think how much information you and your salesperson have to coach on if you go through this form. So they go and see them on Monday, but they don't get the proposal till 3 weeks from now. That would be something to address. How come that's happening? What rock is in your way? Now, do they get a yes? This is a yes or a no. This is a drop-down box. Yay. What was the best price you put on the table? They gave them three choices. Give me the highest price that you put on the table. And what was the actual sale that you made? Interesting information. How much is left to collect? In other words, did they get a deposit? Then this next piece dovetails their performance with the installer. And you'll see some parallels with the installer scorecard. Jason, pay attention here. Because the installer scorecard, the installers are going to be measured on job costing performance as well. All right, so when is the job completed? You know, not to beat people up, to help people get good. What are the rocks in the road that would slow down these things? Why did it take so long, for instance, for a job to get done? And what is so long? And what is the average at your company? Until you know, you start to track. You get some baseline on the statistics. All right, so if you're not sure what your gain is, then start keeping score and then assess the score. And we've got some weeks left to do this, right? So if you're like, I don't know where to even start with my salespeople, I would say, do they sell, only sell? Then let's have them use this scorecard for starters. If they sell and install, I've got a service tech scorecard that we can look at, right? And if you have a different situation, then I'll help you figure out how to put a scorecard together. And I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be an Excel spreadsheet. It can be a columnar pad, okay, for starters. Easy peasy. When's the job complete? Did it come in at or below bid for hours and materials and subcontractors? And was there a commission opportunity? I'll show you how this form fills out. Did this particular guy, deposit commission paid, he pays his commission in two pieces. This is where it starts, you know, again, I'll make a suggestion to my client. I picked up one of my clients, and he made it fancy. There are two pieces of the commission. I always think this looks like more bookkeeping. I would skip one of these and just did you pay his commission. The tech who turned in the lead, maybe there's a lead turnover commission, and then he gets paid. All right, and at the bottom of this form, now you have to study this form. If you're going to use it, take a look at how it works by clicking on the formulas and playing with it, and then bring good questions to office hours or send me an email. And this gives you room to do a lot of jobs. On this particular scorecard, I would use the same scorecard all year for this service tech or for this salesperson. And then at the bottom, there's some cool summary stuff. Total proposals, signed proposals, you get a close rate. An real-time close rate of this person. It's going to update every time you go in line. Then the proposal rate versus the sales rate, like what is he putting on the table, and then what are they actually buying? Is there a gap there? Are they missing the nicer sales? Why? We don't know. We can't tell that from the scorecard, but at least we'll know what's happening. All right, is there an AR problem with this particular salesperson? And then what's the commission opportunity? You can plug in whatever commission you like. I am super proud of this form. I've seen this used to terrific effect. It is customizable. If you know something about Excel, and if you don't, you find a 15-year-old who can help you. All right, serious offenses, stealing, fighting. Oh, okay, I'm going to wait on that one, Chip. I'm just checking questions. What about business partners? What do you do if they don't follow the rules? At some point, honey, somebody's got to go. I no longer work with my husband. All right? Is that there's more to talk about on that, Linda, but I also know some of the history there. Is there a progressive discipline based on the same type of offense? If every violation, no matter what type? That was another question that Chip had. Let's talk about that at the question and answer, installer, contract photographers. So, Linda, something like this could be modified for the contract photographers if they're making the sale. So what I want to identify is I really like rewarding salespeople for making sales, and I don't generally base a bonus on sales generally for people who don't make sales. Now, Howard's program, you'll see, is a little bit different. There's a little bit different philosophy there, and I don't think it's awful, but I want you to pay attention to what you're actually rewarding. The person who makes the sale is the person who says to Mrs. Fernwicky, Mrs. Fernwicky, here's option A, here's option B. You know, you've gone through the whole sales process, boom, boom, boom. Here's where we are. There's option A, there's option B. How would you like to proceed? You give her the pen, you shut up, and you stand there with your armpits filling with sweat while Mrs. Fernwicky says yes or no. That is a sales activity, and only one person ever does it in a sale. And I like to reward the person who's willing to do that and willing to get good enough at it that you can build your company on it. Give me a little shout out if that just makes sense. Okay. Oh, try using your home button to go to the top. Okay. I don't know what that is on a Mac. I used to know how to do that on a PC. All right. Good, good, good questions. I'm going to hold on to some of the questions so I can get through a couple of the other scorecards during this, you know, between now and the top of the hour. So I'm going to park that for a minute. And let's look at another scorecard. Okay, now this is a manual scorecard. And this is a lovely scorecard for service techs. And I am going to make this one bigger. I think I should be able to do this without blowing anything up. Let's at least make it 125. Let's try 150. All right, this is a manual scorecard. So I put this one here. You can just, you know, check your printer settings and print this up. One page a week per service tech. This is a good service tech scorecard. So Robert, Jason, Jill, Michael, Chip, take a look here. All right, this is literally what we use at Zoom. And I start, when I work with clients, this is my number one approach. I have them fill it out manually for a few weeks. I have an Excel version. I have something that does the math for you. I can make that available. I haven't updated the one we used for 2017 yet. You know, there's some dating features of the complex Excel spreadsheet. I'll get it to you by 2017, and I can share with you one for 2016. But it's really complicated. The Excel is really complicated, and it may be more than you need right now. So I just wanted to show you how you could get started. If you're getting started with the scorecard, I do it on a paper like this and with pencil for starters. Okay, so look at the kind of information we would be gathering. If I'm a service tech, and a service tech, according to the org chart and the responsibilities, the position description for that position, the service tech goes on a service call, goes through a process at Howard's. There's a most outstanding service experience ever process. At Zoom, there's the fixed process is what we call it. There's some kind of sales process that service tech would go through that will involve being nice to the customer, doing some kind of diagnosis, asking good questions and listening, presenting appropriate prices and options, asking for the sale and shutting up, then getting the sale, assuring the customer they've made a good decision and here's what happens next, then doing the work, making good on the promises you just made in the sale, and then collecting the money and the referral and the testimonial or whatever it is that we're going to wrap up that sale experience with the customer so that we're making a friend for life. Okay, all sales processes, and Howard's got an awesome one in his Inner Circle program, have those basic steps to them, right? Okay, so that's what defines a salesperson. That's what defines a service tech's position. They're not only selling, they're also producing. And this is where, Linda, this might be something to consider for you guys too, because the photographers are selling the job as well as doing the job, or you might decide to split those duties up. This is purely style, and both are reasonable. Consider your company, talk to your team, and decide if you want to have service techs who serve by selling and installing, or have dedicated salespeople and then an install team. And for HVAC companies, they have all of that. They have service techs, they have salespeople, and they have installers, right? So there's options. This is for the service tech, and let's look at it. So what we do want to catch is their close rate. How many doors did they knock on today? All right? Number of calls run, and then number of calls closed we define by something more than the minimum service call. So if we have a minimum service rate of $59 to show up at your house, it's any sale more than that. If you don't have a minimum sale, it means you got a sale. All right, so in some cases, for some of you, that might be that we made a sale additional to the basic sale. All right? We can talk about your business and how you could define that, but basically we want to know, did they get to a yes? And if so, we're going to get a close rate. And the beauty of a manual form is that the service tech is assessing his own performance or her own performance every day. I loves me a manual form. As we move to more and more computer stuff, this is one of the things that I'm sad that we're giving away, because there is this visceral moment as you put that pencil mark in. If you have 100% close rate for the day, you went on 3 calls and you closed all 3, it feels delicious. If you went on 3 calls and you closed 0 and you have to put a 0 here, that doesn't feel as good. There is some immediate feedback, all right? So then you get the plus or minus close rate. This is optional. You could, you know, you either made it or you didn't, but you might say, are we over it, or yes or no. All right, actual sales. What are the total sales for the day? And then plus or minus sales goal. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to put this in. So you can see the goals are up here. So if the sales goal for the day is 1,200 for the day, and then for the week it's 5 times 1,200, and if the close rate is 75%, you're going to put those in there. Now, for those of you who took the financial blast, your budget is where you come up with these things. But note, if you don't know any of this yet, leave it blank and take a month or two to have your team start filling out a scorecard, because at least we'll see the base rate. Do you see how important that is? It's so important to get them in the habit of actually keeping score. And then you'll know, no judgment, only love. Let's just see what the baseline is. Super powerful. All right, if you do know your goals, you fill them in. If you don't, then just start keeping track. Actual sales plus or minus average invoice. If I did $1,200 in sales for the day and I went on 3 calls, my average invoice is $400. Now, in my world, because I publish how much they get paid, I also have them calculate their wages for the day and their wages as a percentage of sales, and this number will dovetail with my budget. Someone who takes a long time to deliver those sales, if their wages as a percentage of sales are too high, I won't be able to make money with this person, and I'll have to fix that. So here's something to note as you keep score. Study these scorecards, look at the different samples, decide which one works for you. If you're in the inner circle already, go over to the vault that you've got and look at some of the scorecards that may be over there. Or if you talk to other people or you belong to another group, I mean, these aren't the only ways. Do a little study. I love this one. All right, now, if you are going to keep score, no matter what you do in any area of your company, you've got to help them get good. If you are going to track and not train, it's mean. And if you train people, but you don't track their performance, it's dumb. How do you know if your training is any good? So the two sides of the coin here for a better way to pay are that we're going to track performance and we're going to teach them how to be good. And what is good enough? Well, if we don't know, we'll start with a baseline because we're going to be keeping score starting now. Isn't this delicious? Oh, you have some really great questions. Google Drive has some great scorecards. Alan, is that where you got some inspiration? Perfect. All right. Okay, we mostly work in a commercial market, and ours is a different situation entirely. I'll say yes and to that, Michael. Chances are good that in your company somebody is making sales, in which case this would be an excellent scorecard. And there may be people who are going back and doing the install work. And your sale definition may be a little different. Maybe they don't get the deposit today, but they get the signature from a legitimate person on the other end. Fair enough. But generally, Michael, look for the basic roles in any company. Somebody's making sales and somebody's doing the production. And that's where we're going to look to keep score for sales and production. Now in the office, it's going to be slightly different, and I want to show you a couple other things. Oh my gosh, it's almost 8. Let's go to introduce you to a couple other things. So those are some scorecards. Let me show you some rules of the game. Now, this is the rules of the game for Howard's group. This is really good too. I like what he did, but I've got one issue with it, and I'll show it to you. You're gonna. Those I've already talked to will get this. So now, let's consider. Now we have a couple of scorecards. All right. Now let's talk about the rules of the game. If you don't know what your contest goals are yet, start with scorecards and just let them cook for a minute, and let this information wash over you. If you're already keeping score, if you already have goals, the rules of the game are going to come into play with every one of you. Let's see an example of how you could set this up. Now, aligned with his org chart, and it's kind of opposite of how the org chart would go, right? The flow is up. Do you see that? This is the org chart looks like this too. I think this works really nice. Okay, so here's senior tech, intermediate tech, basic tech. This is what they do at Clean as a Whistle. I'm moving fast today just to make sure you're staying with me. All right, so this is the Clean as a Whistle tech and assistant tech compensation plan. Note it's documented. When he updated it, it's documented. Senior tech, intermediate tech, basic tech. And then there's a little bit of bonus right here. But basically what they do is, as an assistant, you're going to make 7.5% of the tech sales that you're assisting, or $8.5 an hour, whichever is higher. Now, Scott assures me that they haven't paid $8.5 or $8.50 an hour in a long time, but usually that percentage is higher. Now, what I don't love about this is that the assistant is making a percentage of somebody else's sales. However, It's style more than anything else. Ultimately, the assistant is going to become a salesperson and run the job himself. So, all right, so be it. You could just pay assistants $8.50 an hour and say you don't get any kind of sales bonus until you move up the ladder. That's another option. Fair enough? Not to be critical, you know, there's no wrong in any of this. That's just the tweak I might make. All right, let's skip the additional tech compensation for a moment. Basic tech, and notice the behavioral moment here. You need one ICCRC certification. This is an official cleaning certification. You need two, and you need three. There is no mention here of attitude. There's no mention here of being a good guy. Very behavioral. And when I asked that, I said, are there additional requirements to move from basic to intermediate? And he said, yes, and the biggie is the certification, that most of it is focused on helping him get that certification. That's pretty straightforward. I got to say, I love that. All right. Now, it gets a little fancy. Minimum wage or bonus up to 20% when solo and 13% when working with an assistant. Not ridiculously fancy. Look, the whole thing is on two pages. Okay, and there's some additional people who are even in on the mix here. Now, here's another thing he does, property damage. If property is damaged, we're going to deduct this. This is optional, kids. I actually prefer it if we don't try and make the compensation program also punitive. I like to address challenges to my procedures by writing people up, by having a conversation, by finding out what happened, as opposed to just charging for it. And the danger with this is, if I worked with you, I might interpret this as, I have so much damage I can do, and all they're going to do is take it out of my paycheck. I can live with that. So I might be rewarding the wrong thing. Like, this is when I was teasing you, Alan, about having a I think it was Alan, somebody had something, if you show up on time, then you get an additional bonus. I would think, well, I don't have to show up on time and I just don't get that other bonus. I'm gold. I never show up on time. I just take the hit on that every day. So be careful about putting punitive things in here. Consider what you would be rewarding. And this goes back to my experience as a troublemaking, fence testing, often fired employee. Is that I'm going to play the game that you present. Make sure the game is rewarding the right behaviors. All right? He does. Now, Scott and Clean as a Whistle doesn't have a lot of this. They have that one. They have some upsell bonuses, and they also have a company bonus that they lay out right here. Now, a company bonus is going to reward everybody across the board. It's not really attached to anyone's individual performance. So, you know, I do a similar thing too, just know it's not quite as indicative of an individual's performance. There could be people who are doing the heavy lifting and someone else who's going to get a pretty nice bonus regardless. So, all right, just be aware of some of the dangers. You don't have to do it all at once either. He's got a couple of, you know, this is the main dish right here. You could add the sweeteners and the cherries on top after. Get your main dish figured out, and then you could do something a little more elaborate. Now I'm going to show you my rules of the game. This is all going to require that you study this, and you'll see now for the next three webinars, I'm not going to be putting a ton of new resources up on the replay page. I will put some as requested, or if someone has a specific one that they want to share or something, we can add to it. But just know that we're gonna have time to go through these, and I expect you to study them. And let me follow. Let me show you the rules of the game. Let's see what I got. Oh, over here. Sample rules of the game. This is. An overview of how I do it. All right, so this is one that I updated. It's fairly generic. I do a little philosophy at the beginning so that you can share that with you and your team. And my compensation for service techs is that they hit sales goals first, and the house wins on that, and I only pay a bonus on sales above goal. So again, if you're not sure what your goal is, you got to go through the budgeting process, get that baseline with your scorecard. But once you do have it established, then what we say is the house is going to win first, and we don't pay a bonus on sales to goal. The house wins first, and we're going to help you get to goal. Then above goal, everybody wins, and we share generously. So we would share 10% of sales above goal, and here's a little example of that. We might have a little cherry on top of one or two contests that we might also have going on. Don't do too many. And then notice I list the rules of the game. Now, these can be refined for you, but I make sure that we hammer out what the details of this game are so that everybody is clear. This is where you may want to document exactly what a sale is, what the requirements are to play this game. And then I have a bonus program for installers too, and rules of the game. All right, I have a bonus plan for the salesperson. We call that system engineer in my world, the salesperson. So I'm going to let you study these between our office hours and our next class. Our next class is next Saturday. And one more tool I'm going to, oh, I'll show you two more quick and then we'll jump into Q&A. Here's the installer scorecard. Okay, Jason, this is for you. Let me make it bigger. So if you have people who do not sell, their game isn't sales. But the installers would be, you can easily create a game with the installers when you match what you put in the bid to their performance. So in other words, if I bid a job, now this will be, we'll talk about how you can do this if you're constructing things in on site versus constructing things back at the shop. We can tweak this, but let's say you're going out and you're doing the job out in the field. This is the job that the system engineer or the salesperson sold, and inside that job is so many dollars that they bid for material or subs and subs, and then so many hours that they bid, and I can match these with what they actually put in. You fill it out with a pencil. This is a manual form. This is so good. And so often we lie to the people in the field and we say, well, I only have a day's worth of labor in that job. But you don't have a day's worth of labor. You have, 32 hours worth of labor in there. You've got to raise your standards if you're doing any of that nonsense and tell the people the truth. Okay, this is what I have in on that job. Now, if you get the salespeople and the installers talking to each other, the installers will say, you're not giving us enough hours. And the salespeople are going to say, you guys are wasting time. And you ride along, and you come up with procedures, and you help a brother out. And the salespeople add a few more hours, and the installers come up with ways that they could streamline the process, and you fix it. And I have seen this happen 1,000 times. Maybe not 1,000, but close. All right, by keeping score, by getting real, by having conversations, we can fix some of the challenges that happen between the salespeople and those who make good on the promise. Such good stuff. A lot of information because you're coming from different companies. And this is the last thing I'll show, and then we're going to open it up for questions. This is a sample of salary levels for the office, and I've used this many, many times. Now, with the office, they don't make sales generally. Now, for those of you who have dispatchers who are getting a name and a credit card over the phone, getting a credit card and payment and agreement over the phone, that's a sales moment. But for many of the positions in the office, they are not sales positions. So what we might do is pay them for every additional position on the org chart that they could hold in the office. So you start by answering the phone, you get $12 an hour, and then you're required to become skilled at the CSR manual, and you work through this list. And once you've completed that, you get a $1 an hour raise. The AR credit manual, maybe you get a $1. The AP payroll manual, maybe you get a $1. Maybe to become a dispatcher, you get $2. And maybe only the office position, office manager position, is salaried. This is a real example. I edited it a little bit, kind of streamlined it. This is a real example from one of my clients, and many of my clients have adopted something similar in the office. So for those of you who are going, okay, I want to choose the office positions, this is what I want you to study. Bring your questions to the potty on next Saturday, or send me over your swing via email, ellen@ellenore.com. Okay, now I'm going to open up to questions between now and the bottom of the hour. About 8:27 is when I'm going to have to take off today. So let's see what you got. I'm going to start at the bottom and just jump right into this, okay? And let's see if I can also, I may need to pull somebody on the phone to clarify something. Let's see what John's got. Does the company pay for employee education outside in-house training? Oh, okay, John, you're so going to love my answer to this. Yes and no, it depends, but who pays for everything? Go ahead and type it in, John. Who pays for everything? Ultimately, who is it? The customer. Yeah, the customer is the right answer. Ding, 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 John, the company. No. And the customer will ultimately pay for everything. So one of the conversations you have with your team is, we could pay for more things, and we would have to raise our prices in some fashion to make that happen. Now, when you have sales training, will the increase in sales capacity make up for the expense of sales training? Probably, right? Some of these programs and training are going to actually increase sales. However, ultimately, the customer pays for everything. Now, a more realistic answer to you, let me tell you what we do at Zoom. At Zoom, what we do is we say to the guys, listen, you don't have to go into college and spend $50,000 to $100,000 to get a degree. Instead, you could start making $50,000 to $100,000 with our program, and here's how it works. Here's how you would get there. And you're going to be required to come to some training on your nickel, but you don't have to pay for that training. The training is a benefit of being one of our employees. So we do training, I think, it's something like 3 days a week for 2 hours at a shot. So they have 6 hours, the apprentice to junior tech class. When they're enrolled in that class, there are 6 hours a week that they're not on the payroll, but they do not have to pay for their time, and it is in essence optional. However, if they don't graduate from that class, they can't become a tech at that company, and it is required that you have some upward mobility in the organization. So, other than that, we put them to work for 30 to 40 hours a week. We aim to keep them busy, and they'll be riding along and doing, you know, different positions at the company as part of their overall training. Check with your labor attorney to make sure that that's going to be fair. But keep in mind, like, if we send them to a training offsite, they get paid for that day, and we pay for that program. Those are benefits, and I'll tell you, next to what they get paid, the guys love training, and gals. I've never had anybody say, I wish we had less training at this company. Never, ever, ever. It's always considered a benefit. So the more you pay for, the bigger the benefit is when you're selling people on your company. You know, this is what you get here. We're going to create a career path for you, and we're going to pay you to learn, and all you have to do is show up for the Saturday, you know, 9 to 11 training session on your own time. That's what would be required for you to take the next step with your career. Could you pay for all of it? You could. You could. All right, let me move up. So that's Alan's question there, too. Alan, I do want to, I want to pick on you a little bit, and I want to put you on the call. Okay, so I'm going to unmute you, and let's see if I can hear you. Hey, I can.
Can you hear me?
I can. I want to brag on you. Alan sent over his org chart, his salary levels, how you move from one to the other, the training that he has in place to help people do it. I mean, you really are far along this path. Alan, what did I pick on you about?
Not getting too fancy.
Way too fancy. And a lot of it, Alan's challenge was a typical one, that you're trying to make this way you pay self-managing. If I lump everything into this, then I won't really have to manage the team. And I told him it kind of speaks of him being a high C on his disc profile, which he admitted that, yes, he is. So for those of you who are very detail-oriented, you might tip the scale in that direction and try and put, if you show up, if your uniform's clean, if your truck is clean, if you, you know, haven't been written up, if you have been written up, if you damaged the property, don't put all that in there. my recommendation is you focus on a few stats that are critical and then deal with those issues as a manager. You write them up. You ride along. You have the conversation. You get the rocks out of the road. You know, somebody said he couldn't shower at home. He didn't have a shower. And that particular employee ended up building a shower at a shop so there would be no excuses. All right? I don't have a car. Can you get a bus schedule? Can you bring yourself to work? If you can't, you can't have this job. I mean, you're going to take a minute to find out what the rocks in the road are, but you're going to raise your standards and you're going to hold people to them. And one of the things that you had that I was making reference to today was that there seemed to be a price tag I could put for showing up late or not having my uniform, as opposed to knowing that that's not optional and I will lose my job if I don't wear my uniform or if I don't show up on time. Do you see the difference there?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And also, you know, collapse the levels. I think Chip may have had this too. If there's three levels, could you make it two levels? Like you could have the standard level and the executive level in terms of bonus, and just make it a little easier for bookkeeping and for the person at home to understand it. Any other questions that you've had? You've been so participatory and helpful and brave in terms of sharing information with me. Anything else I can do for you?
I'll look at my notes. I've got a whole document of notes. So I'll have to look at that, and I'll email you on the office
okay.
hours.
And next week, it's on Saturday, so hopefully we'll have a really good turnout on Saturday for those who find it a struggle to be here on a Friday morning. But, yes, definitely bring those. And thank you for sharing. Keep it simple. Don't try and make the rules of the game do everything.
Okay, awesome.
Okay. All right, love, love. And thanks for the Google Docs comment. That was good. All right, and then let's see, Jason has, so a service tech leaves some options for AC replacement, and then the customer calls to check it out or talk to more who sold it. Okay, this is really important. Jason, unless you get a signature and a deposit, you didn't sell it, you made a recommendation. You might formalize this process with your service tech and have the service tech contact the salesperson and set up the, let me turn you on to our dispatcher or your sales coordinator or even the salesperson themselves. The service tech would set that up, right? Do a firm, clear handoff. What is the procedure for the handoff as opposed to just mentioning it? So there's a procedure to the handoff. And if that job closes, then there could be a bonus. And you'll see on this scorecard, that is what we're talking about. Tech who turned in the lead, say that's Eric, and we have a standing $50 or $100. Some people do it a percentage of sales. I'd rather not. I'd just make it just a straight out dollar amount. And then the bookkeeper would indicate that they got paid on that day for that lead turnover. If it turned into a sale, then that lead could turn it over. And I tell you, a formal approach to that can do wonders for your sales, Jason. So very good question. All right, let's see. Reward for desired results and close the activity. Do you tier commission based on the value of the job? Okay, Linda, I'm going to put you on the phone, darling, if I might. Because you've got a couple of questions that were also asked by others. Hello, darling.
Okay.
How's my girl? Oh, what? Did I startle you?
No, not completely. Good thing we're not on video phone, though.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, the only reason I even allowed the video because I'm on California time too, so it's early.
Oh, and, okay. Yeah, it's early.
Yeah, I'm down in L.A., and yesterday somebody FaceTimed me in the morning, and I'm like, not going to happen, okay? So, yeah, no, you've got a couple good questions. And the one question I want to address is that, you know, for all of you who work in family businesses, and I think that's like 90% of all businesses, is that the rules should apply for family members as well. Our pal, Al Levy, Linda's also worked with Al, always have the sage advice to know the way out before you go in. And sometimes we have to backtrack a little bit. So what you might say is, we have to decide on what our standards of performance are going to be, and if they're not going to be met by either member, are we free and clear to go? Like, is that going to be our consequence? And that's a retreat, and that's getting the owners, you know, together and making sure that you're clear. Not everything has to be a go-to-a-wall thing, but where are your boundaries? And if someone who's the owner of the positions, they should be held to those standards, and if they don't, you ruin the culture. It's just not worth it. And you can fall on your sword. You can blow it now and then. And the more emotional bank you have with your team, the more likely they are to let you off the hook. But you can't keep doing it and maintain the respect and the culture that you're trying to achieve. And I know that's tough for so many people who have family members, but it's a conversation worth having. That's one of the questions you had on here. Now, a tiered commission based on the value of the job, you could do it this way. Like, you might have, there's a couple ways you could do this. Is that if sales exceed a certain level, like going back to my one document here, let's go back up to these service techs. All right, so like if the service tech goal is $25,000 for the month and the service tech did $28,000, then in my game, we only pay on the amount of sales above goal. But the more you're above goal, the more money you would make. So nicer jobs are going to give you more dollars above goal, and you're automatically going to make more money. One of the things that they chose to do at Zoom is that there is a platinum level of sales, that if you're 20% above goal, then you get 20% of sales above goal. So they did tier it. They didn't do it at first. All right. If you're new to this, don't make it so fancy. They've got to understand it. Another thing you might do is you might have as a spiff, if there is a certain add-on that just really makes all the difference to your bottom line, you could put a spiff on that add-on. Now, mine are not like yours, but these would be like cans of BioClean or an additional task or something. But if in your company, and the problem is we get too many of these. So you might say for the next quarter or during the season, this particular new item is going to have an additional spiff. And then you do some product knowledge training on it. And you have somebody on the phone say something when we, you know, be sure to ask, Susie about blah, blah, blah. And then it's on the website in a predominant way. Like the whole team kind of gets behind a new product can be a fun way to leverage the sales of an item. But then stop that program and start another. Don't keep layering them on. Most of the time what I see is people just keep adding until we hit the point of total confusion. Does any of that help you?
Well, the question I was having around the tiered commission based on value of the job is more like, you know, there's, you know, kind of the low-hanging fruit that may not be worth as much in terms of a job versus the jobs that are that really profit you. So, you know, in our world, it might be some people just go out and get any school, but any school isn't necessarily a profitable school, but they're going to go just for the commission. Does that make sense?
It does, but be careful of making it fancy or having some arbitrary what makes it good versus not good. And sometimes I throw them a bone. Maybe it would be there's an additional bonus for new business, for a school we've never done before. You know, you can do that, but get uber specific and clear on what a level one school would be versus a level two school. And maybe just have two. But it's got to be like no arguments about one versus the other. See, I'm always coming at this as the troublemaking employee. I instantly went to the place where I think I would argue with you about whether or not that's a good school or a bad school.
Well, I was just thinking about it from the point of view of the profitability of the school.
If it gets too complicated, you know, what are they impacting in terms of the profitability? If you can make that clear, then the answer is yes. If it's three paragraphs or you're getting pushback, unwind it. Don't shove it. Does that make sense? Don't shove it down.
So maybe it's better to get ahead of it and say these are the specific contracts.
Or ask them.
And ignore the, not let it be broad-based.
Yeah, or ask them, like, could we do this? Some schools are better than others. Why are they better? And then you clarify it with your team, as opposed to you coming down with the, anytime I've come down with the gospel, you know, or the tablets from the mountain, I have had a hard time with buy-in. You know, every time I've gone back to the team and go, here's the challenge I'm having. Some schools make us more money than others. Here's what I've noticed. How could we identify those? Even if I kind of have some clues, I'm going to look to the team to help me clarify it. It's so much easier. So that's where I'd go to see if you can't nail that down. Okay, and let's see. Thank you, darling. Love, love, love you, honey. Wish I were farther north today. I'm in L.A. All right, what else do we have? Any chance we can get the replay website on the Facebook page? It is on the Facebook page, Chip. I think it is down north towards the bottom. But I bet Dana would repost it for you today. What about time spent training online? Sure. You know, help them get good, especially if you think the training is going to improve their performance. This is why tracking and training, the idea of training is that their stats get better, right? So if we can find some training that's going to improve these stats, it will pay for itself. And if we're not sure, I'll raise my prices, right? I'll figure it out. But I will pay them to train, and there's very few things that we do where they have to show some initiative, and it's going to be training that if they went to Votech, they'd have to pay for it. If they went to school, you know, if they went to the college to find out how to do a software program, I may say, listen, I'll pay for the program. You bring yourself to the party. What do you say? And then in that case, it's optional. You can't make it mandatory. Check with your HR people. Check with your labor attorney, et cetera. All right. Really good questions. Okay, Michael, I am looking forward to hearing your concerns about how to edit this for the commercial market. I have commercial clients. I'm happy to bring that to the party, too. You can tell even today I had so much content. I'm a little worried about overwhelming you guys, so pick which part of your business you want, go back and study the forms. Everything I showed you is on the replay page, and then I expect to hear from you at ellen@ellenmore.com. Dana, if you want to post that for him, post the replay page for everybody. Make sure that everybody knows to become my Facebook friend and get on the Facebook page, and we'll stay in touch between now and the call that's going to be a week from tomorrow. Woo! Hey, you guys, I am so happy to be here, so proud of the participation. Thank you so much. Oh, one more thing. I saw this from Chip and a couple other people. More serious offenses, stealing, fighting, showing up drunk on the job or high, those can be cause for immediate termination. And that you would lay out in the employer-employee manual. Very good question. All right. So, yeah, Alan, there are some offenses that are worse. But if somebody showed up late and they showed up out at uniform, I'd still take them to the next level and write them up. Those are still the basics of clean, sober, on time, dressed right. We're not going to go through four for being on time, four for your uniform, or three for being on, you know. Just get them back on track. Dude, you're going to lose your job. Do you want to go home and tell your partner that you lost your job because you wouldn't wear a belt? Because that's where you are. And if you make this game bigger, if you create a vision and a mission and your why, and if you help them see that they could achieve their goals along the path of you achieving your goals, that's what Howard does so well, then you're not going to fuss about the uniform. You're not going to fuss about these little things. People put up with stuff they hate if they believe in you and they believe in the mission. That's a good place for us to end for tonight, for today. Love, love, love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Dana, mwah, thank you so much for all your help. Love you. Bye.